Good morning. With the words of the Apostle Paul when he says, "Grace be unto you, peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." You may have checked on the list. It was up to Reverend Dave Fair to be here this morning. And he's still in the hospital. He's not doing very well yet. And I just ask that we carry them in our prayers this morning. So I was asked to take the place here this morning. I trust that we have come to hear what the Lord has to say to us this morning. I want to begin with a few verses out of Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Paul is encouraging us to sow the seed, even though we don't see the fruit. He says, keep on going, and don't give up. I want to say welcome each one that is here this morning. Good to see that you have come, and may the Lord bless us as we serve together this morning, we worship together this morning. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We thank you for blessing us with such a beautiful fall morning. Lord, you have shown your faithfulness to us again. And Lord, as we are about to enter into worship and see what your word has to say to us this morning, pray, Lord, for openness, for transparency, that you would just help us to receive the word and allow it to do its work by the power of your Spirit. Father, this morning we surrender ourselves to you and pray that your will might be accomplished through us, your children. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to begin with a few songs.
In the blue hymnal number 34, "How Great Thou Art." Feel free to stand.
God is son.
is power in the blood, number 330. Hymnal 245, Lord, have of me supreme control.
Lord, have of me supreme control. Of sin and self and me, oh.
Thank you for that hearty singing. A message so beautiful. It says, would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's power in the blood. I trust this morning as we have gathered, we feel the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we close with another song that really talks about submission. Submission to our Heavenly Father. Lord, have of me supreme control. I trust this morning that you and I have come here with that heart condition, that we're not in control, that God is in control of our lives. When I think about that, I think about in the time that we live in, we need to take the focus off of ourselves and focus on what God wants from us. And we want to get into the word this morning, but I want to thank you for singing from the depth of your heart. I know it's driven by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's what brings us together. And we sense that, and we can feel that. May the Lord bless you for it. This morning, I want to turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. Israel, the nation of Israel, has rejected the message of the gospel. And Paul says like this, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Paul's heart is heavy, and he's talking to his brethren. He addresses them as brethren. These were his Jewish brothers and sisters that he's talking to, and Paul understood where they came from. Paul understood what they were thinking and how they had been programmed all these years and how they were still in the process of trying to do what was right, to do what the law required of them, what they should do. We read in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3 and 4, and this was the law that God had given to Moses to give to the children of Israel. And he said, and these are the conditions, if you will, and the results of obedience. And he says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due time, in due season, and the land shall yield your increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. In other words, what God was saying, if you're going to do this, then I'm going to do this. Then I'm going to reward you. But it requires walking in my way, walking in my statutes, doing what I'm telling you to do. And so Israel misunderstood the purpose of the law. The law that pointed to the righteousness that was only attainable through Jesus Christ, through the blood on the cross. Rather than seeking redemption in God's mercy, they pin their hopes on their own religious achievements. It is something for us to think about, and what we want to try to draw out of here is the burden of Paul's heart. And when we think about doing good and not giving up, Paul is a perfect example of not giving up. These were his people. He understood what they were thinking. He knew where they were coming from. He had been there. He had exerted himself to the fullest to do the law, to keep the law. And it took his experience on the way to Damascus where Christ got a hold of his heart. And now that he's tasted of the goodness and mercy of the Lord, he's wanting to share this with his brethren, and it's heavy on his heart. And so we need to understand that even though Paul got right to the point of things, he meant well with his countrymen because he could see that they were still in darkness. They were still holding on to that, the law that God had given their forefathers. And here we're in the New Testament times, and the gospel had been preached in the gospel in the book of Acts. We see that the message of salvation had been preached by Peter, and it had been around, but some of the Jews, of course, accepted it, but some didn't. Some chose to simply reject it. And in Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 9, verse 1 through 5, it says, "And I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost." So Paul is totally convinced that what he's saying is truth, because he says, "My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continually sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, who are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh of Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen." Paul is saying that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. It was because of his unsaved Jewish brothers and sisters. And he says in verse 3, "I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." He said, "You know what? I'm willing to suffer and just pour out my life for you. I'm willing to be cursed because I have such a burden in my heart for you." Friends, how do we feel? How do we feel about someone that we know, someone that might be near to us, who is still holding on to doing what is to holding on probably to some traditions that when you do enough good, it might just be enough? I think we all know people like that, that feel that we need to do enough good works in order to make it. But that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, "You know, my heart is so heavy. I have great sorrow." And he says, "I would just as well I be accursed from Christ." When we turn to Exodus chapter 32, Exodus chapter 32, verse 30 through 35, we see that Moses stands in the gap for the people of Israel. And it says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord peradventure. I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me out, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. Moses is just saying, you know what, Lord? I can't do nothing with these people. And he says, just take me out of your book, because they won't listen. You see, they had created those gods, the golden calf, and they worshiped that and felt that that was sufficient. And he goes on and he says, and the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people, because they made the calf which Aaron made. God simply said to Moses, you know what, Moses, you do what I'm telling you to do, and the angel's going to walk before you, but I am going to hold them accountable. I'm going to deal with them if they choose not to follow. Our duty as believers in Christ is to share the word. And when I think of the burden that Paul had about his fellow brothers and sisters, I have a burden as well. I trust you have a burden. Possibly there's someone that you know who feels content that he is saved and he's going to heaven. And that's where it's at. But Paul says, I have such heaviness, because through Israel would come the gift for the whole world. Messiah would be born in the flesh. And he says, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. You and I have a duty. It's easy for us to come to church on Sunday morning and have regular attendance, or to be part of Bible study, or to be part of the youth group. But building the kingdom of God goes much more than that. It simply takes us out of our comfortable position, and it takes us into an area that we need to trust God in. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38, we see that Jesus had done some miracles here, and he says in verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Friends, if we're going to be anything like Christ, and we are supposed to be, and I trust that we have a testimony for the Lord Jesus, but if we're going to be anything like Christ, we're going to have compassion on people. It says here were the sheep, and they were lost without a shepherd. They were astray. It's going to need you and me to be true to Christ in order to make a difference. We need to see people as Jesus saw people. And he had compassion on them. Friends, if there's ever a time when we talk about having compassion on others, and especially the household of faith, but it says go out to all people, today is the day. There's such a division in people. There's a division in congregations. There's a division in family. If you don't think the way that I think, well, it's not that I hate the person, but I don't want to have much to do with them. But that's not what Jesus is teaching us. He said, having compassion on them. He saw those people and he had compassion on them. It says here, the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. When we think about that, what possibly comes to mind is maybe third world countries that haven't heard the gospel. People that have rejected Christ. But I want to say this. It's in our neighborhoods. It's possibly in our family. Showing compassion to people will draw. And that's what Christ used to draw the people to him. He didn't write them off when they didn't agree with him. He didn't destroy the Israelites because they had rejected him. But he allowed them to experience some difficult times in their lives to draw them closer to him because he had a plan for those people. The Messiah would come through that lineage. It is a promise that Jesus says he is going to be with us to the end of this world, regardless what the circumstances are that we face. Paul's heart was so heavy that he said, I could be accursed. Friends, I don't know about you, but do we have a burden for the lost? I trust we do. Sometimes it's just showing compassion instead of just kind of turning our way and thinking, well, we don't agree, and so let it be. But we need to love unconditionally. That's what Christ did, didn't he? He didn't write those off when they rejected him. But he took them on a journey. It says, pray ye therefore, verse 38, the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. Friends, there are laborers out there. There are people out there. But possibly we need to ask, why are they not serving the Lord? Why are they just comfortable at home and somehow convince themselves that they have received the gospel, they have received salvation, and they're going to heaven, and that's good? As servants of Jesus Christ, we need to step out of that comfort zone and we need to go further. I was thinking about that. Just kind of looking in the mirror. And even asking myself this question. Have I forgotten that I have been adopted into the family of God? Has that kind of slipped away on me? And thereby have become sons and daughters of God? And that we are to be about the Father's business and not just feel good sitting at home and hoping that somebody's going to go out and reach out to those people who we know have not received that wonderful message, who have possibly heard it and rejected it, who have been hearers of the word but not doers of the word. Friends, it is your duty and it is my duty to share the good news of the Son as a family of God. We have a great responsibility. And it says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. One writer put it this way, and it's not in scripture, but he said, pray earnestly the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Sometimes we look at this portion of scripture and when we think about choosing leadership, pastors, deacons, but this goes beyond that. It goes to the point where we are stewards of God's grace and we can't sit on it. How do we grow when we're just content? How do we grow when we feel that our duties have been fulfilled when we go to church regularly, when we attend Bible study or Sunday school? We kind of come to a plateau and we stand still, don't we? Because that's what we do. And it all almost becomes a ritual to us, something we need to do. But I ask this question, do we feel good about it? Sometimes we become so busy in life. And I don't know about you, but I can only relate to my own experience that I haven't taken the time to move further to the next level. And I remember very clearly thinking, and we've shared that between my wife and myself. So when we get to retirement age, should the Lord tarry, it would be a joy to go out and serve. And I'm just being honest. Those were thoughts that had entered my heart. You know what? When I've got all the things in place, then I'll take time and I'll go out and serve. But what does Jesus tell us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. This was part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Seeking first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It is to bring more people into the church. More people to salvation by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our priority is spiritual. God meets our material needs. God meets the things that we need to live daily, and he provides. You know, there's a saying that goes like this, where God guides, he provides. Have you seen that? Where God guides, he provides. And so it really comes down to a priority issue, doesn't it? We need not worry about tomorrow. And I'm not saying this that we would just drop all things and say, you know what, God will supply. Yes, God will supply. The Bible also tells us that we need to work if we're going to eat, right? But there's a balance that we need to kind of sort out. What does that look like? What does that look like in your life? Or what does that look like in my life? It says in verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What does that mean? You know, each day has its own challenges. Each day has its own problems, if you will. But why are we going to worry about it if it's not here? One person once said, why pay interest on debt you haven't got? And so that causes us to think. We should be concerned about sharing the message of truth, the message of the gospel, because it is our duty. In Matthew chapter 4, we know that Jesus was baptized and God had spoken his blessing on his son. And then we get to the temptation in chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. It was the third time that the enemy, that Satan, came to him and says, and again the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You see, Satan just said to him, well, if you're going to choose this path, I'm going to give you all the glory of the world. I want to encourage us, let's be wise. Let's be careful, because all these riches that the world has to offer will all come to naught, and they will all be gone. It's only what we do for Christ that will last. In Matthew 28, Jesus had risen from the grave. And we might say this was his departing message to his disciples. And he says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then he leaves them with a promise, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the earth. The Great Commission has not changed since the moment that Christ uttered those words. That still remains the same today. He's calling you and me, he's calling the church, which are the hands and feet of Jesus, to go out and reach out. And possibly it's in your neighborhood. Possibly it's a coworker that has rejected the truth. When followers of Christ pour their hearts and lives into others, by the power of the Holy Spirit, things happen. Things change. That is the greatest calling that we have. That is the greatest calling that we have. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Christians are saved for good works. Good works are the result of our relationship with our Maker, our relationship with Christ, the Son. And it says that we should walk in them. Our lives should be a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says we were created for a purpose. Are you still out there looking for a purpose in your life? Friends, if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, the purpose is there. And it's our calling. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, Paul says what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for you have been bought, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. We have been purchased. Purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And our focus should not be on ourselves, it should be on Christ. It says we are not our own. And I trust that each one of us can grasp that. That now I belong to Almighty God through the Son, through His Son. I have been adopted into the family of God. And therefore, with that comes a duty to fulfill. And it is my prayer that we would not neglect that. Because back to Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says, and when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. There's people that God loves out there who have not made that final decision in their life to come forward. And friends, maybe it just needs for you to have some compassion, for myself to have some compassion and draw them near. God is a God of love because that's who He is, and it won't change. That is my prayer for us as a congregation, that we can move forward, that we're not content with just this is where we're saved and we're good, but that we would move forward. Step out of our comfort zone and go and share the gospel message with someone. There's many sheep out there who've gone astray. Let us close in a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father in heaven, you are a merciful God, a loving God full of compassion, full of grace and mercy. And Father, we thank you. You left us such a beautiful example how we are to move forward as believers in Christ in the kingdom of God. And Lord, we pray that we would do that by the power of your Spirit, and it is only when we surrender our lives that you can use us. Father, we pray that if there's anything standing in the way that we are not willing to go, that we would simply humble ourselves and empty ourselves and come before you and seek forgiveness. Father, we pray for your blessing upon this morning service. Lord, I pray a special blessing upon each one that is here. May this time together just draw us closer to you, because we know the day is approaching when you will come to receive the bride. And Lord, we all await that reward that is waiting for us. And we thank you for those promises that you will not leave us nor forsake us, but that you will be with us to the end of the world. A promise and a message that you left with the disciples, and we claim that promise this morning in the name of Christ. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with you. And I want to invite you all to kneel for those who are able, but most of all, bring our heart before the Lord. If there's something that you feel that you've come short, and we all have, that we would just bring it before the Lord and seek forgiveness. And He will forgive us. He hears us. Kneel with me, please, in the silent word. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I found it interesting that John just revealed my thoughts when he was saying that. That has always been my thoughts, that once I'm retired and I don't need to work for an income, then I will go and preach or share the gospel. But it is like he's saying, why don't we trust Jesus, right? I have one thing to share here that Deacon Pete Fries sent me. And it says like this: to the Sommerfeld Mennonite Church membership, greetings to all and thanks be to God who is continuing to bless us. As you all know, we have again come to the start of another physical year, October 1st to September 30th, when the church needs to update our physical situation and responsibilities. On behalf of the whole church, we want to be grateful to God and one another for the monetary gifts that have come forward. In order for us to cover this year's expenses, we will once again be asking for the suggested membership fee of $400 per member per year. These fees help cover costs such as utilities and repairs to the churches, transportation for the ministerial, and major building improvements. Your donation should be made to the general fund and be marked membership. Online donations are also available. Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me, and so can we. Thank you for co-laboring with us, from the Church Finance Board. Thank you. May God bless you.
Thank you, Deacon Jake. Come to the close of the service this morning. I want to heartily thank each one for coming. I just want to thank those who came to the Brotherhood meeting yesterday. We had a good meeting, and I just want to say that the resolution that was brought forward has been passed, and therefore each church can move ahead on that as they see fit. I want to leave you with a blessing this morning in benediction, that are Numbers 6, 24 and 25. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee, be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may go in peace with the Lord.